I think what?
This is actually
okay. Chipping the weed—that was the whole intent.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. So we'll call the meeting to order. Okay. It is 5:35, and today is Tuesday, the 18th of June, and we are holding the CPAR meeting, and I'm going to be taking over today for Kate Calhoun, our chair, who is coming. Roll call, please.
Yes. Jaime Favreau, Annabelle Nunez, Kate Calhoun, not present.
Okay. And item number two, the approval of the legal action report and minutes for the April 16, 2024
minutes.
Only one person.
I move to approve the minutes on
April 16th. Okay, and I'll second that.
Jaime Tadeo, Annabelle Nunez.
So, I will table item number three, which is a report from the chairperson, and since the chair is not here today, we'll move on to item number four, a call to the audience. We don't have anybody in the house. Is there anybody on audio?
We didn't receive any emails or calls, and nobody else.
Okay, yeah. We will move on to item number five, and that is the review of TPD investigations. So in accordance with Section 10A-88F of the Mayor and Council Mandate, the Board may only review those charges specified in the investigation in order to comment on the fairness and thoroughness of the internal investigation and to report any concerns regarding that investigation to those specified in the audit. So we can begin with case number one, which is case 22-0396. And this is, I wonder how to do this. Okay, so there is a complaint and one officer that is involved. And the allegation is General Order 400, which is untruthful. And the findings were sustained at the severe misconduct, which is at the red level, and the action that was taken was the employee resigned in lieu of termination. That was not the action. Oh, that's correct. That was the outcome of that particular one. The other allegation was failure to investigate, which is General Order 506. And that was also sustained, inclusive. And then the other one was General Order 700, which is following policy and procedures in relation to crime scene. And that was also sustained, found to be at the severe misconduct level. So essentially the complainant was upset and was told that an officer did not respond the night that she placed the call, and no one had arrived. Any discussion? So what do you want to contribute if you can start with
you? I'm Stephen Harrow. It's unfortunate.
Okay. I agree. Let me see here. So I have a question for in the house. So when an officer resigns in lieu of a termination, how does that sort of follow that individual? There's no longer a jacket because he's left the department, right? But how does that have any kind of impact for that employee to find employment in law enforcement or related types of security or that? How does that actually?
I think I can answer that. Jimmy Wakefield, I'm the Internal Affairs Captain. So what happens when somebody will review the
termination or during the investigative package that might have resulted in your termination, we send a notification to our HR department to Arizona Peace Officer Standards Training. At that point, we'll make a determination whether or not they need help back up or review of their own. If they make a determination that the individual should be the pilot's peace officers, it's either suspended or terminated, and they get all that information from us, conduct a review, and take appropriate action.
So it's not a guarantee that they could potentially.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So post is.
Even just Arizona.
Yes. So post is the one to make the determination on to continue to allow them to have the certification. But there's nothing that says they can go to Texas and try to get a certification. That's where one would hope a thorough background investigation might
Okay.
So I guess along the same line, if that same officer picks off and applies, whether in the state or out of state, and let's say that agency that's looking into hiring a potential officer, again, will everything be released to the new agency that's looking at them in full color?
Yeah. So, when they apply for a police officer position, let's just say from the states, Arizona Post has specific guidelines that are required to be met as far as the application process. So the agency is required to do a thorough background. Just kind of working my way through the problem, assuming that the potential officer fills out a background packet, says that they worked for Tucson in the past, that agency would then have an obligation to review our file to determine suitability.
That would be okay. Splendid.
Yeah.
In this case, would the individual, did they at some point just kind of say, okay, I'm just gonna quit? He knew what was coming down the pipe, right?
Yeah, he accepted the responsibility. Lieutenant Bacher from OPS, he didn't accept responsibility for everything that occurred. And at that point, kind of read the writing on the wall and reading through the personnel reports and termination of the beach. The outcome of that sanction. So, but he did admit to everything. And, he had excuses throughout, but yeah.
Yeah, well, and there was already sort of work kind of tracking on some behaviors previous to
right. And so the supervisors did a phenomenal job in tracking that.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So the video that it was in the file, many of them, but the map, right? And it was like a little point thing. Is that just tracking? What is it? A GPS kind of like on your computer car or body worn or something on the?
Okay. Yeah, that's specific to the computer. Where they're going, where they're at, where they check out,
something like that. Yeah. So I just want to be a hero and do the big cases. But it's not. I saw an episode in where it's like, I'll just decide on my own which cases I want to track on and respond to. So that's kind of scary. Any other comments, sidebars, editorials? I was mystified at the behavior that the individual just was using. Maybe I'll just 15, like we're talking half almost, which is kind of frightening. So I just want to add that I thought that the investigation was very, very, very thorough because there was a lot of pages and I was going very cross-eyed by this. I ended up one evening in reviewing this one, but I have to say that I thought that the work that was done to review the case was and so I will open it up for a vote or a motion.
It's 0396.
Second that. Vote.
I'm Tadeo. Annabelle Newman.
Aye. On to case number 23-0161. This is a case where a complainant, the allegation is General Order 201, failure to take appropriate action, and there were no violations, therefore there was no discipline for action taken at that point. So, in summary, the complainant made an informal complaint who said that the LPO, who is the officer that the complaint was put against, stated that he could not legally possess the firearm reference to an injunction against harassment, which the complainant was the defendant. I believe this one was where there's some neighbors that are carrying on a long-standing dispute. Going back and forth, and so I think there's discussion of brandishing guns and whatnot, but they have no harassment injunctions, is that what they're called?
Injunctions against harassment.
Thank you, injunctions against harassment, against each other. Clearly the individual knew it pretty well. He's talking on the phone and trying to get that. It just feels like to me it might have been a communication. Tracking of communication what was happening. Anyways, the LPO was incorrect, and I think he was given counseling. Okay. And was responded to that. So, any other thoughts and discussion? I'm not believing you were sitting there chomping the little bit. My lady. But it wasn't her case, right? It was her son's case at that point. Okay. If there's no further discussion, I will call for a motion on case number 23-0161.
Motion? Yes, please. We move to have case number 23-0161 in part of the book.
Thank you. I'll move. I mean, I second that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Italio. Annabelle Newman.
Hi.
Thank you.
Okay, case number 23-0205. This is the case where the complainant, the general order that was identified that was a complaint was rudeness. That's general order 304. There appeared to be no violations found, so there was action. And this was a case where the complainant who was involved in the pool incident, for lack of a better word, where the complainant found that the two officers who were responding were condescending. An officer made comments that the complainant found to be disrespectful and rude. So essentially it's a community pool fight ongoing between the two parties. Physical fight, and unfortunately the complainant did get arrested for attacking the individual who was taking photos. So I find this what the investigation has done. Thankfully it was camera that took the video that was there. And it wasn't tampered with, even though there was a potential for the other party who was a part of it. The woman who was the aggressor was on the HOA board. I was thinking that the HOA guy would have erased it, which didn't have any interest to it. I didn't find anything to be condescending and when they engaged with the complainant. I couldn't quite hear where she got that. He called for a sponsor, let me know. I didn't hear anything to that degree. And I think that the officers responded to the counsel when there was verbal counseling. Not sure even in good humor, which I think that maybe the he was trying to use it as a de-escalation, honestly.
Yeah. And those are always difficult when you don't have people who listen to people, but it's a lot of time that I come across and I'm serious. If I'm being serious at that moment, and you know, when this person gets arrested, it's just, I mean, you can look and sometimes, you know, I've been there where I look at an officer if I'm, you know, negative, in the one or two instances that I had in my life, it's like, I'm already copying an attitude about the way they're looking at. Not even in that case, just in a supervisory position, if I'm the underling, then I'm looking at that person, I'm already thinking about what they're thinking about me, which is totally incorrect. It's just in the other way, or in the way it was around with me when I was supervisor. You think of all kinds of stupid things.
I feel a situation wrong.
It's just too difficult to decide.
Yeah.
It's like targeting a specific from the back.
I think I might be confused, and I don't know if anyone else caught it, but then the maybe fiance, she kept referring to her husband, but then she's like, no, well, he's like, what do you think? We're getting married, so.
Same difference.
Her women, right?
Yeah.
Did he actually throw it out? Did he call her the spicy weapon? And I think the officer kind of just down the road.
So,
right? Okay.
Thank you.
And you know, she was talking about not teaching bullying as a kindergarten teacher, and then she wanted to kind of use that as a, but I'm a kindergarten teacher, and why am I the victim? Honey, you are throwing some air.
I gotta mix everything up here.
You must be sweet. I think what was also kind of interesting to me was sort of when the two other people kind of came over to start to back up the aggressor, right? And he misgendered the teen girl. You know, when people want to try to use that all of a sudden, I'm like, teen girl jumped in. She wanted a piece of the action in the moment. I mean, I could appreciate that the fellow did apologize and profusely apologize, but then in trying to exit the pool, still picking a fight in the parking lot. Morning. Walk away. Anyway, so I thought it was fair and thorough.
Yeah.
And any other thoughts and comments? Man. Oh, action. I will make a motion that I find this case 23-05 be fair and fair. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Okay, we have a second.
I'm Tadeo. Annabelle Nunez.
Hi.
Thank you.
Case number 22-0255. This is a really extensive case with three officers involved with a number of allegations with a lot of outcomes. And I'm just wondering if we could table this one until Kate is back. Under a motion. Just to have further discussion. Did you all have a chance to update?
I didn't do the last three.
Oh, okay.
So that would be
great. Okay. I mean, I think this one is a real important one. They're all important. Let me just preface that. But this one has so many components to it. And this one had some national attention that I think warrants some more engaged conversation. I would like to table this. Let entertain a motion to table this case for the next week.
Just a second.
Okay, thank you. And we'll move on to yes.
Sure.
Yes.
You were
call for vote.
Yeah, we need to call for a vote. I just want to make, clarify the motion. You're moving to continue to the next meeting?
Yes. Yes.
Annabelle Nunes?
Aye.
I'm at the end.
Okay. Oh, that's just a page of questions. Thank you. Case number 22-0477. This is the allegations. So one officer is debtor order 500, loss or damage to non-departmental property. And the findings were sustained. And that sustained that. Did I get this from me? No. See, I did a copy and paste. This is the one with the RV. That's on that one. Okay. This one is the one on the RV. So a call had been placed and the individual. The response was very long. It took a long time, and the officer that showed up was standing at the gate talking to the individual. He was pretty angry. Officer was able to de-escalate it, get the information that he needed to gather because the RV was parked outside of the property, which seems to have a number of different structures on it. It sounds like the individuals in the RV were basically stealing property, right, by plugging in and juicing up. And then the follow-up to that was yes, so there was a sticker to give them an opportunity to move their vehicle, and the individual was inside the vehicle in the RV. And then you have
Because
we're not over that place. Okay. I'll entertain the motion. What were the allegations? I think we must do something.
I think it was like they turned up the button of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were already sort of going to that, maybe.
You know what? I'm going to have a new call for them to go on this one place. And it's for you. You're going to get a chance to do it. Yeah, I'm going to call for a motion to table this one to the next meeting. I'll make a motion.
Is that fair?
This one was a June 1.
Yeah.
I just realized that I think I did.
So since we're taking the
that one.
Cans.
Right. Yes.
So what we could do is discuss in the 15 weeks by moving to us.
Okay. Motion to continue case number 122-0477 for the next meeting for discussion.
Okay. I'm Italio. And about Nunes.
Sorry, y'all. Okay, so case number 23-0040. This one involved an officer who was off duty crossing the USF border, and the call came in that he claimed that was the CPP agency. And essentially, the general order, the allegation was it was unprofessional of him. And this one was found to be sustained at yellow. There was, it was flagrant rudeness, that which was also inclusive. And then the other one was off-duty allegation, also sustained under yellow. And also fell under the inclusive, all under unprofessionalism. So, essentially, the agents at the DSX were voted upon the crossing of the officer who was not on duty, who was asked to pull aside so that their vehicle could get a secondary check, because they were not able to provide the appropriate documentation for her mother. So she was just engaging with using verbally abusive, etc.
Written reprimands and it's in our suspension.
Oh, thank you.
So about the 10-hour suspension, I guess I just want to kind of learn about, I mean, kind of seems serious to somebody who just want to use their position at the border to kind of like get across. How do like someone get just like get a 10-hour suspension for that type of thing?
It does. Typically, what we'll do is when the chain of command makes a review of the case, they overlay the facts with established policy, make determination there's a violation of policy. At that point, it will move towards the discipline monitor that we use. At that point, the chain of command makes a determination where that flaw was coming from the monitor. And a lot of our routine issues typically are balloons, which is like my policy fractions, like using broccoli or those sort of things, injecting to the yellow, which has some impact on the partner operation, but we're, you know, the image of the agency, and we're all in terms of severe misconduct. So it gets progressively
major.
To include the case you're interested in talking about, the Fourth Amendment case, that's got national attention, so that's going to merit something higher on the discipline thermometer. Once they get to the discipline thermometer of the type, there's a range of disciplines associated with it. So in this particular case, the discipline could be anywhere from a written reprimand all the way to 20-hour suspension, which can be felt based on the facts and circumstances of the analysis with the suspension. So,
Well, also, I think since
this case was involving another agency, enforcement agency, was the same investigation by as like a citizen?
Yeah, so in this particular case, internal affairs started the investigation, so we took a statement from the Border Patrol folks, we took a statement from the officer, we obtained the body gun, those sorts of things, and then we actually gave that investigative package to the chief of command, actually, what the
I think when she was called in to give her interview, she was being casual. I mean, this conversation sounded pretty casual, but she was receptive to the conversation and acknowledged that we'd been there with her before, which I appreciated. But I'm like, you're being reviewed. Why are you being so casual? So that kind of concerns me if that's her mindset. Like, is this going to stick at 10-hour suspension? I would hope so, and something that's going to be in your jacket for a while.
Years on the force.
I will tell you, from my experience, the money I'm not sure about here.
Right.
Yeah. There, she was very relaxed. I mean, it was funny, because I'm like, man, I would, if somebody tell me I missed an email, I'd get all upset.
She was just like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it just sounded very casual. But yeah, I mean, that's a substantial sort of.
Can't quite tell.
It looks like Brian Taylor, 3 years. Oh, she's young. I mean, she's been in. Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess
that's
I think the follow-up was done very well, and reaching out back to the other officer, I guess the supervisor and the officer who actually experienced, well, they both experienced that exchange from her, but the fact that she was already away in Georgia training and they tracked her down and were able to just say, listen, here's the deal. She appreciated that because I think she understands what it takes to have the morale level kind of stand and remain high, and that it is worth reporting these kinds of things, even though there is that fraternal sort of don't snitch on the wrong kind of mentality. So that was great. The follow up and that was great.
And if I remember correctly, to your point, I believe they were paid majoring tournament coach as interviews during the running as an opportunity I'll take to remind officers. And if my professionalism answers questions thoroughly, my recollection is this place. And quite often, the union folks will just sit up and go counseling and hang. This is an opportunity for you to be honest in front.
And it works in another way, too, I think, because it's like at least she feels comfortable kind of being her authentic self. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. But I'm also like, yeah, you know, don't forget the send, right? And the long-term optics of that. And it's lessons learned. And it's good that you gave that as advice as well. So, but in the end, I thought it was well done. And I will make a motion that it is, it would review with fair and thoroughness. Case number 23-0040. And I
retain
a second.
Okay, Jaime Tadeo.
Hi. I'm Annabelle Nunez.
Ah. And I believe that is the end of the cases. Really a lot of work. Well done. Item number 6 on the agenda is a report from the police department.
Yeah, so Chief Duffy sends her regards. She did want me to convey to you folks one of the things that the TPD is moving towards in July is we are creating 4 new community response team squads, 1 per division. We'll have 7-day-a-week coverage of those community response team squads. And what they are is they primarily operate with close capacity. That means typically what they do is they go operate in unmarked vehicles and civilian tires. With support from some marked vehicles, so they need to stop or contact somebody who's suspicious, at that point they have marked vehicles. We ask some interaction. The thought behind this is we've seen a significant uptick in street takeovers. So that's drained resources on weekends from other telephones. So we'll have to actually put together a special response for that. We're also very focused on gun crime, supervised gun crime, and the community response team folks acts as a tactical investigator. What we find is there are a few folks, usually in the community, that commit a large percentage of our crime. So the community response team folks typically deal with those individuals. So if they manage their violence, gun action, homicides, they respond to those incidents. A lot of times they'll get there before even the homicide detective or animated assault detectives. They'll start to work the investigation in a tactical sense to try to find the individual that's responsible so that we can potentially get one, get our hands on so nobody else can get hurt, but two, obtain physical evidence, things like that. I previously to this assignment, I had central investigations, and one of the things that struck me when they created me. Tactical investigator model was the life cycle of our homicide cases dropped from somewhere around 150, 160 days to around 110. That was true to our tactical investigators getting back out there, getting out there quickly and starting to find those things down. So that's the thought behind it is we're seeing an uptake in street takeovers. We want to stay on top of the violent gun crime. Out there, and also in summers, we will see, as we saw with the CBA shooting, we'll have parties that get out of hand quickly and escalate into a shooting. Once we want to sort of knock them down. That's probably the biggest thing that the UFC is dealing with in the next few months.
Is the street takeover mostly related to vehicles and the racing and all that kind of stuff? You know, is that permitting in any other way? Like,
so it's interesting. So it will. They will a lot of times communicate via social media, usually application via social media. How you work, but so they'll communicate that there's an event or they're doing some sort of event or a meetup, and what they will do typically is go take over an intersection. They do, if you see it on video, they do donuts in the streets. I think they call it pits. I'm not sure what the objective of it is, but a lot of times the spectator and the individuals that are doing it are armed. So we've seen and we've had shootings in the county center shootings where both like bystanders, people that are just trying to get home or live in the area, they'll engage these folks and they'll turn into a gun battle. So there's guns present. It's just that's the people that work cars. It's extremely
dangerous. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what a campaign looks like to, again, you know, to engage, but it's for me.
Okay. Here from my house. Oh, there's daylights everywhere. Yeah. I don't know what I'm
doing. I'll go buy some spikes all over the street. Oh, Lordy! Yeah, it's the how quickly that can happen because of social media. How do these people who are out of it, they don't know they have cars, but I don't know what the car is. Still on the roof. Yes.
It's a reallocation of assets, resources. And say somebody like Charles here's street paper in his area. So that was more people involved. The seat coming back to the bodies that it's going now
So there's two different ways to do it. Obviously, if you're seeing the street takeover, you're looking out the back window and you're seeing a takeover intersection, falling on one, getting cops going. There is, and I can get you all a link to it, but there is an online survey that was created a few years ago of didn't necessarily bump into it, but you have information about takeover, just so we can collect the data point, survey out and jump in and fill out so that we can start collecting some of the information.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
From the Office of Professional Standards.
Yeah, so
that is.
Yeah, the biggest update from the healthcare's, I don't know if, 10-point initiative, we were having considerable change in staffing in the office. We have 8 folks assigned to it over the past 3 months. And it's in July, we're going to lose at least half of them to promotions mostly. So they're heading out to their next assignments. We have about to receive one of those. The SCA person in the office, so we're working through a training program with him. But we have 3 more alive until July on the September time frame. The sources are being tested.
Yeah. Well, this hiring is still a challenge, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to trickle up rather than trickle down in this place, right?
Yeah, that's typically what we'll do is we're moving resources into an assignment. We'll wait for an academy class to graduate to sort of backfill those bodies with the community. Although, OTS work is important, the field operation is really good. We don't have to be able to charge as we show this. So that's the priority. But we've got enough safeguard in place.
Okay, on to item number 7, Office of the Independent Police Corps. Mr. King.
Thank you. Quick question. The background information of CPAR, are they getting information about whether or not the case was green? Are they getting information about maybe the petition of a sanctioned fire team? If they agree, they will ultimately just be fine.
Yeah, at least we address that. I don't know that it is. And I bring that up because it was 220255. I was originally in that case. I know that there was an act of units in it. It was supposed to change, and I actually, on the way to the meeting, I spoke with him and said, it's funny that I have that. So, for that particular case, I don't know.
Mr. Kitt, yeah, if you could explain what you, I think I heard grievance, is that what you said?
Grievance, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Once finding was made and the sanction imposed, the officer had the opportunity to appeal it. And there are several different defendants. You can go directly to the city manager's office. You can appeal to the people's panel and look at the members on that five-person panel. You can agree with the directly to the chief of police that the sanctions, obviously, and more significant, you can agree with the civil service program. So the case is not officially considered closed until the final grievance has been chosen and decided. And that can take a long time to go through these grievance process. Sometimes you can look at the purview of the case, but I don't get a chance to review it until they've been through all this appeal process.
Yeah. I mean, but you'll get it if it were to go to the board, which you're a member of.
Yeah.
In that capacity, well, you're still learning your IAP.
IAP?
That's not this.
IPA. Yes, I'm there as dead.
Right.
I'm the only certainly not to see that.
Well, I remember seeing something where there was on that case, and I don't think we can talk about it because it's not, but there was a grievance that was in process, and I remember them going to the board. I think I had questions about, like, who makes up the board, right? And I'm like, well, it's a lot of people from the department. So, like,
it's just a grievance. It's not enough information to you to know which path they have chosen for that grievance. It's a grievance panel that it would be. An appeal to the chief, grievance the chief, you would know. Rarely would a few people have ever seen them go to city manager.
But it's rare.
Really, really rare they go to city manager. And that's a very interesting process. And because it's so rare, well, a very consistent process because it's so rare.
Well, I think in my mind, I wonder if that's, you know, because one of the questions I have has to do with respect to the discipline has been decided on by, you know, the chain of command and then the Office of Professional Standards, right? There's a 20. But then I'm not sure. I'm tracking on where the chief of police come in and said, well, we want to pull back on that particular discipline because, and I've seen this a bit with this chief, right? And part of me is like, I get the trying to balance that we don't want to be too harsh or concerned of, you know, the attrition. I mean, that's a real thing. But I'm also like, what does that do then to OPS? And sort of the work that you're doing, because you want to be backed up, right? So I'm kind of, you know, that question is sort of lingering in my mind. Is that one? Because I'll probably go back and spend a little more time. So hopefully those case files can stay active. If we can let Gina know, I don't know if they kind of get disengaged or not.
I don't know. I'll verify that. I do have notes to make sure that any grievance documents for that case are chalked.
Okay. I mean, I remember just seeing something from one of the officers that people put a grievance. What was the name of it? But then I lost coming.
There was one officer.
Correct.
So it's not bad, but in real terms, different people have different agendas. It doesn't make bad or conflicting. It's just different people are in different positions within this process. And as you pointed out, I mean, the chief has a major concern. Of course, not keeping him on the street. So that may cause him to lean one direction, maybe another's fine.
But even in the same case, if you're seeing a difference in how that discipline is actually addressed, I mean, immediately my mind says, oh, we're the equity. And that's problematic. I mean, I just feel like, okay, administer, you know, my work and my daily life, I have to really think about the equity for all employees. It's on my mind. And then, look, that's very inky. So, you know, inky, right? Like,
you also have to be aware that there's politics there that we can.
Sure.
Bring everything in there to see what that's made and play when it's made without supposed to be played. Can't come with it.
But, yeah, but I mean, you have to play the cards very carefully because they, you know, you're playing with emotions at that level. Anyway, yeah, it should be discussed, I think, further. So I would invite our board members to really dig into case 22-0255. There was quite a bit of learning going through that and remembering maybe the hours of training. But that said,
is,
do you have anything else? Yes, sir.
In this past month, the job kind of morphed a little bit, more than it has in the past, but so be it. Instead of doing oversight as much as I would, I did more of an ombudsman for the city. I constantly get referrals from city manager's office, ward office, mayor's office, and it's not so much a complaint against the police as it is maybe an opportunity to fit, or they just want to open the kid, give this matter a sign, but they can tell me who to talk to, how we get my faculty back, and all those types of things. So it's not, there is oversight that's bringing and help me navigate through the city process.
For the community.
And there's always, sometimes it's a little stretch, but there's always the word police attached to the referral. It may not be direct, but it's there somewhere. And I think sometimes some of the folks in some of these offices, they look for the word police and they instantly say, give it to me. And I don't mind. It makes people feel good about the city too, so much. What's your option? So I was really excited with that. Also, let you know that one of the things that we do with one of the things I do with OPS is we often offer and quite a few people take us up on the opportunity for the complainant to look at the body line footage from their complaint because they remember things differently.
Sure.
And this is a great opportunity for them to sit down and look at it. A lot of them will say, I want my income. And that's great. You can do that. It takes 2 years. I mean, only 2 years. You don't have to tell this to me to get it, okay? And that's because, you know, redaction means for it, okay? Video has to be redacted. Instead of just saying you're reading a report, you can engage it more for so to speak. This requires frame by frame, it requires pixelating. And as you can imagine, scores of hours, and everybody, their brother and mother and sister, want spotting their camera. So it's the delay is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very specialized to be able to do that. TVD is aware of that. And as you heard Captain say, you know, there's some things that are considered not critical. And they're doing the best that they can with the resources they have. But yeah, it's a 2-year wait. But I tell people that that's if you want your own car. If you want to see it and you've made a complaint, let's sit there with somebody from OPS and we'll run the video for you. And we can talk about it. You can share how you think maybe something that you see is not being considered. Is that being assigned as much weight as you think it should be? Or there's maybe something's being missed. When no one's ever walked out and said it's been doctored. You know, a lot of people would suggest that and just be some people just say, I don't care what it says, I know what I saw. How do you possibly argue with that, right? I don't care what I saw, I know I have.
Okay,
have a good day.
Yeah.
But 99% of people look at that and they go, oh my goodness, now I understand. So it's a great tool to help the community better understand the complaint, better understand the police response. And then not only that, but if there's an opportunity for the police to explain why they did what they did. Yeah, they did it. Yeah, you saw them do it. But why did they do that? Well, they do that because, and this is how they claim it, it fosters that discussion. So the opportunity to look at that body of intent is really priceless.
Well, yeah, I mean, even the officers had some, you know, issue with their own recall, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, okay.
Hydrogen lights go on, and we're going to do it. You know, for that first couple of seconds, it's fucker. Just, you know, and you know, that moment, your perception may be.
Then comes the unconscious bias.
So just to be clear, you understand, the body of the camera is not mine. I don't own that. That's CPD. So, you know, CPD is very, very helpful in that regard and very workable. What do I suggest or ask? Can this guy look at this? And they're saying, yeah, of course. Of course, so it's a group of, it's a great working relationship. So, I'm going to get the combination of the two. And you can tell vacancies next, or do you have
any? If you don't have anything else, can you watch
that? Yeah, I'll just go with it.
Okay, yeah, so we can move on to item number 8, which is CPAR vacancy. I don't have anything.
Yes. I've spoken with the two boards and reminded them that we need to get someone on board, and they said they would be happy to do that. And I question that I posed to the game with those office in general. When Councilman Willard came on board, does she notice that she needs to fill a slot here?
She sent a roster of the current appointers and vacancies.
But just sure the warrant is going to be.
That I'm not too sure. It should have been on the roster, but yeah, we could reach out to her.
Because we can have council members who appoint somebody who doesn't live in their ward necessarily.
Say again?
They can appoint somebody who doesn't necessarily live in their ward.
You have to live within the city, but yeah. You can't work in any capacity for the city to, so you can't fill the commission, you can't be a certified police officer. Those are the questions. Anything other than that?
Do you and Kate talk to people preliminary like we kind of did when we had a moment to do that in high school?
The opportunity to do that.
Okay, I'll give you contact with them right now. Or?
Madam Chair,
yes.
I was reading through the rules on this topic, and I did notice that there does not appear to be a city manager appointee. There's one called for in the rules. In addition, you can have up to 4 non-voting advisory members, and I think currently you will be appointing 2 or 1. So that relates to the training requirement. If it makes sense for the board to move to expanding the non-voting advisory members in the implement.
Yeah, because they can participate immediately.
Correct.
While they're getting the training done. And as soon as they get the training done, then they officially would be.
They just can't go.
Correct.
Soon they would do it by
they do?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you participated in just the FDA, so I'm glad that makes sense.
And Carlos is on his way to getting his elbows done. He had some recent surgery. It kind of slowed him down, but he's as walking as fast as he can.
Mitch, we have an organized
the team does train for the 8 hours. 60 hours of online, you can set up the sessions, and you can go through the slide presentation, and you take the test at the conclusion of each session. And that's the 60 hours. Actually, it's been built to be more than $60. They found other things they thought were poor, but in fact, they aren't. But if you begin for the year, it actually works out to be more than $60. And 20 hours as required has to be same person defensive values. And that started out when you had a group of people, TUDs would be in the structure of it. We actually went out and gave them the whole thing. And it takes a lot to do that. It's a lot of manpower, and it's a lot. It's a big ask of DPD. They were gracious; they were required to do that. But that was when the initial group, when you have trickle down from one person, another person, you can't ask them. Yes, but it's not likely that we get it. Where DPD is going to set up a big role play opportunity for one person.
Sure.
So what TPD is allowing. And I think it's fine person, lessons that you learned, is the trainee is able to observe the defensive tactics in role plays that the recruits or other trainees are going through at the academy. So they're actually watching some of these things, and some of them get green intents. And I think they're getting the same benefit than if they were actually a role player themselves. So Crohn's, for example, is going to be told when those classes are running through. They run them through very regularly, but constantly going through that type of training. So that's the 20 hours. And that has to be the cap.
Yep. And then, Madam Chair, I don't know if you had discussions amongst the board, but if there are specific community organizations that you think may be interested or have members that are interested in serving. That's something that maybe the city facilitate reaching out to.
So to answer your question, we have not. And so that's an intriguing potential. So community org studios that might have people who can then participate on
the board.
Yeah. Thank you. Conversation with the chair,
right?
A conversation with our chair.
No,
for sure.
Oh, I'm sorry. And one last thing that occurred to me is that I imagine we probably want to say from law enforcement, but pre-law enforcement, there are Pima Community College has the Law Enforcement Academy there that might. Students might be interested in participating if you want to do a younger demographic.
Becky, yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else on the CPAR vacancies from the board? Okay. And item number nine, future agenda items. I don't have anything.
I'm interested to learn more about how does the department handle people who are complained against for their lease of power. Like the election case earlier, I'm a cop. I feel like we've done with people.
Like a presentation?
If there's one.
Is there a component like in the training, like in it's discussed, perhaps?
Mm-hmm.
Which, other than common sense, will tell you don't do that?
I don't think it's very specific. I think I've gone over that point. Sure, it happens. I can't. I don't know. You can tell us. You can tell us. I'm sorry. Happy. That's just the news. Police probably.
Well, I mean, it happens. I think it happens in every sector.
Yeah.
People start to flex their pills.
Yeah.
They're in a in a vulnerable position, right? So, I mean, I just wonder if the police department sort of talk about it in training in a way that is the emotion piece, right? Like, don't let your emotions get high because this tends to happen. So watch for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we could do some sort of communication books. We do have an academy that explores from disabilities. But there are a variety of policies on the department sort of dictating the way that the officer would be put on duty, off duty, or off duty law enforcement complex. There's any something to talk about, but it was safeguarding, I guess, that the department has.
I mean, I think it'll be better to show, like, just in case we run another case. But it doesn't have to be the next month.
I like that idea because I think in the case that we recently reviewed where the father of the young man that was involved in the car accident,
right?
That's there was a little bit of flexing there, I think, in a very sort of subtle way. And it wasn't until after the fact when I went home and I'm like, I wasn't in the wrong on this. And I went against my own that reaction in the end as to how that was found. But that's neither here nor there. But that would be helpful. I mean,
do you know who speaks to that to
that's...
Every dynamic,
right? Like,
every. But you should not abuse the power. Speak to the obvious, so it would be so obvious.
Yeah.
So much, it's fine.
Yeah, it happens. Human is human.
Yeah.
I was invited to figure into place and I am guilty of it. In some degree, every time. I had to watch myself. I'm like, okay, don't. Your tone sometimes. In that case, you're just in tone being misconstrued or gesture to her.
Yeah, it's positionality.
Yeah. You close your body. I've done it all. And it's not, it's, we're human.
Yeah.
It's hard to get in the show.
That discussion does happen during the OPS IPA set module at the academy. I teach them there. We discuss that a lot. So I know that happens during our session. Depending who you are and how you can be judged. And to that type of
thing. Let's get the
voice. They're one that you're different. I think maybe especially what he's about ready to say. Especially with his handling.
But I think this is like, what are the key things just to sort of mention and remind people of? Because I think the case that we'll be doing next month about, you know, the idea of the racial profiling. And that's very hard to. It's very hard to concretely say, yeah, you were, that was a totally racial thing, right? But how much of the unconscious bias conversation is actually happening in training? And do people really kind of understand it? Because for someone to say, oh, I don't racially profile, we shouldn't be called out on that. We all do. I'm sorry, but that is a reality. Science is that set up. So for someone to say, I have never done that. Yeah.
Right. Okay. A certain point, it's okay. Racially profile.
No.
No,
I understand what you're saying. It's a fair question. When I go to, this is just me, when I go to a party, and I don't do it consciously. I go to a party and I'm not sure I know everybody there. Maybe I just know a couple of people. I instinctively, and I don't notice it right away until I notice it, I instinctively look, sorry, no offense to anybody, I instinctively look for dark-colored people. People from McDonald's or some type. And if I don't see it, I actually get a little nervous. No offense. It's just me and how I was brought up.
And it's like, okay, stop being an idiot, you know? Because I have any kind of friends. Idiots, many, everybody. But it's, we all have something in us. We can, I can, no one, I don't think anyone can say I'm not, I don't racially profile, ever. I'm not racist to any nth degree. Not true. We all have something in our, the way we were brought up.
Is that a sin?
Pardon?
Is that a sin? Racial profiling and racism.
Yeah, I think so. And just, I mean, depending on how you view it, I mean, racially, yeah, I think so. I think it, well, one could be negative, one is definitely negative, one doesn't necessarily happen, right? I think that's my take.
Do they, y'all don't use like the Harvard implicit bias training modules at all?
No, we actually, it's actually pretty good training. The way that it's presented is, for us to become better cops, we need to be aware of like various biases. They're all one of them, right? The gentleman's point, like walking down the street, another group is walking towards you, they're not the same color as you, you might feel something in your mind, possibly to the other side of the. So what the training does is actually lets cops know, hey, you have these biases, and you need to be aware of them. So one, they don't put you in a position of being harmed. You know, some example I heard of a female who was very attractive and armed with a gun, you know, who killed this cop. And he let his bias down.
Yes.
Or he let it become better of him. Same thing with allowing the community to transfer their bias to us. Oh, there's a gentleman in the car outside. So then while Trump dispatched. So some of those things are that I found is pretty good training.
Yeah, for sure. And they update them with them. Pretty regular. And it's practice.
Yeah, and that's really the key, is to be aware of what the triggers are in my mind, and then set up ways to sort of know that.
For sure, yeah. Anything else for the good of the order? Future items? Like a favorite suggestion that we can do that in the park.
Absolutely.
So, without further ado, I will call them again. Ask 6:42. Yay! Have a safe and good June 2nd.
Vacation.